Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Recently, we did a program on the Holy Spirit. We had more questions about the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and other questions that we will address and answer today. So today is a total question and answer period. Pastor Brock, our first question today, how do I know if I have the Holy Spirit?
Jesus said in Matthew 7, you will know them by their fruits. Well, what are the fruits of the Holy Spirit? What does He produce in our lives? And Paul the Apostle tells us in Galatians 5, now, the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. So one way you know you have the Holy Spirit is, are you producing those fruits? Not that you're perfect in those fruits, mm-hmm. but is that coming out in your life? Mm-hmm. A second way to know if you have the Holy Spirit, it says in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul writes, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So if you say and mean, of course, that Jesus is your Lord, you believe, you trust in Him, that's proof you have the Holy Spirit. So the fruits, do you believe in Him? Confess Him as Lord? And then a third way to test, it says in Romans chapter 8, now the Spirit bears witness with our spirit mm-hmm. that we are children of God. So there's this inner witness that, yes, your sins are forgiven, you are going to heaven, you know Christ. That doesn't mean I never have my doubts, mm-hmm. but I overcome my doubts by the Holy Spirit within who testifies to me. So how do I know if I have the Holy Spirit? The fruits? Do you confess Jesus as Lord? You can't do that except for the Spirit. And do you have the inner witness that you know the Lord?
Okay.
Yeah.
I went to a church service once and everyone spoke in tongues at the same time. And I thought it was kind of scary. Your thoughts?
I've done the same where there are some churches where there's a part of the service where everybody starts speaking mm-hmm. in tongues at the same time. I think that's unbiblical. If you read 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14, Paul mm-hmm. says, if you're going to have speaking in tongues in church, you know, fine, one at a time, and there must be an interpreter. So if somebody gets up and gives a tongue, he speaks in a language nobody understands, and somebody else has the gift of interpretation and can interpret for the whole church, that's fine. But Paul says one at a time and no more than two or three. So if you're having everybody do it at the same time, you know, I think Paul says, will they not say you are mad mm-hmm. if they walk into that kind of confusion? So,
okay.
Yeah.
How does one receive the Holy Spirit?
Okay. How do you get the Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. Well, on Pentecost, Peter said, repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I think baptism is hugely important. Make sure you've been water baptized. Also, Jesus said in Luke 11, how much more will God the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Mm-hmm. So I don't think you have to ask every day. I think the Holy Spirit comes in to stay, but I can quench the Spirit. So we should regularly pray, God, I know I have the Spirit, but please fill me with your Holy Spirit today. So you ask Him, according to Luke 11. And Paul says in Galatians 3, now, did you receive the Holy Spirit by works of the law, by trying to earn salvation, or by hearing with faith? And his point is, the way you got the Holy Spirit was hearing with faith. So with faith is a huge way of receiving the Spirit. And then in Acts chapter 8, it's kind of different. The people were baptized, and then later they didn't get the Holy Spirit until the apostles came down from Jerusalem, and the apostles laid their hands on the people. Then they got the Spirit, which is kind of strange because normally you connect baptism with the Spirit, but then they didn't get the Spirit in baptism until the apostles came and put their hands on. So what's going on? Some think, sounds good to me, the apostles needed to know the Gentiles, non-Jews, could be saved. So the apostles needed to be part of that because they were still very Jewish Christians mm-hmm. wondering if Gentiles could be saved. You know, that might be why there's kind of an exception. Mm-hmm. So how do you know if you have the Holy Spirit? How do I receive the Spirit? Make sure you're baptized. go to your pastor or find a good church if you don't go to church and say, Pastor, time for me to get baptized. Ask for the Spirit through faith and sometimes by the laying on of hands. You know, when people become pastors, they lay hands on the pastors and they pray for the fullness of the Spirit.
Yeah. Can a baby have the Holy Spirit?
Yes. John the Baptist, quote, will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. And if you remember the story, Mary is pregnant. She walks into the room and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, is pregnant. Mm-hmm. And the baby leaps in, little John the Baptist, the unborn baby, leaped in the womb of Elizabeth when Jesus, unborn Jesus, comes into the room being carried by the Virgin Mary. So there's a baby leaping for joy by the Holy Spirit. So this is why, again, I'm going to bring it up. This is why Walgreens and Walmart and CVS, we don't kill unborn children now with the abortion pill that they're going to dispense in the states where it's legal. This is why, state of Minnesota, you don't legalize abortion right up to the day of delivery. I mean, I don't think people realize what trouble America is in with all this. I think we're asking for judgment.
Well, in Jeremiah 1:5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you.
I knew you. Psalms 139, I knit you together in your mother's womb. And so, I pray that we'll stop funding Planned Parenthood and on and on. And again, the most grievous thing is that the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Presbyterian Church USA, the United Church of Christ, and the Episcopal Church pay for abortions with offering dollars in their church's health care plan. That's from hell.
Amen.
Yeah.
How can I be filled with the Holy Spirit?
Okay, so when you're baptized, when you believe in Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. So how can I not just have the Holy Spirit, how can I be filled with the Spirit? Well, there's one verse that's really good on how, and this is going to tell us four things. Let me read it and see if you can catch all four. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Paul the Apostle writes, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can ask, how? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the Spirit of Christ, in the fear of Christ. So did you get those? How can I be filled with the Spirit? Number one, speak to one another. Be part of Christian fellowship. Go to a good church. Be part of a good Bible study. Christian fellowship is a huge way of being filled. A second thing, sing to the Lord. You know, I don't know if people know, Hans Nielsen Hauge in the 1700s was plowing in Norway, singing a hymn. He's 21 years old, I think. He falls over and comes to, and he starts this huge revival movement in Norway back in the 1700s that still has its impact. And there's a guy that was just singing a hymn to the Lord, gets filled with the Holy Spirit, wakes up, comes out of it, and God used him mightily. So sing to the Lord. You know, I preached at a country church once. There was a whole row of people sitting there not singing during the service. And I said to the pastor, what's that all about? Oh, those are the Andersons. They don't sing. And I thought, sing unto the Lord a new song. Singing to one another in hymns. So Christian fellowship, singing. I love to sing to the Lord when I'm by myself. It's even better when you're in church, even if you can't sing, sing. And then the third thing, if you caught it, give thanks. When I'm thankful to God, I'm being filled with the Spirit. And I've said many times, one of the best habits I developed, before I go to bed each night, I think back on the day and I thank God for five things. And then lastly, it says, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. So do you submit to the God-ordained authorities that God has put in your life? I mean, wives, do you submit to your husbands? Children, do you submit to your parents? Everybody, do you sit to the governing authorities that God's put over us? So there you go, Mona. So again, how do I get filled with the Spirit? Sing, submit to the authorities, give thanks, and Christian fellowship.
Amen.
There you go.
Some teach you are saved when you accept Christ, but later there is a second experience when you receive the Holy Spirit. Is this true?
Yes, I've heard some people teach that, well, I got saved when I accepted Christ, mm-hmm. but it wasn't until 3 years later that I got the Holy Spirit. It doesn't work that way. Again, you've got that exception in Acts chapter 8 where they don't get the Spirit until after they're baptized and the apostles come and lay hands. But again, that's the exception. The norm is they get the Spirit when they're baptized and when they believe in Christ. So the question was...
is there a second experience?
I think you can have a second, third, fourth, hundredth experience of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But it's not like you can't believe in Christ without the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So you can't say, yeah, I believe in Christ 10 years ago, but I got the Spirit last year. No, you got the Holy Spirit 10 years ago if you truly believe in Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. What do you think of faith healers on TV?
Well, healing is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I believe in healing. I believe God still heals today. But beware of some of us TV preachers. You know, if you send money to our ministry, I have prayed over this prayer hanky, and we're going to mail you this prayer hanky, and the faith will come from my prayer hanky into your lumbago. Get out of here. Don't give those people money. Mm-hmm. No way. Miracle spring water from, we've gone to Jerusalem, we've gotten spring water from the Jordan River, and if you send us money, why, you're going to get healed. Can you imagine the apostles doing such nonsense? So just be careful.
Okay. What should I do if I need healing?
Well, you do what the Bible says. James chapter 5. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick man. Mm-hmm. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So here's what you do. You have cancer. First thing you do is not go to the doctor. The first thing, you call the church. Pastor, can you and a couple elders come out and pray for me? And they put a little oil on your head and they anoint you and they pray for you. I do that. I like to do that first. Before I spent $10,000 with the doctors, let me do James chapter 5 first. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying you don't need the doctors, but sometimes you don't. Because mm-hmm. God does still, I mean, you've got stories, so do I, of how God miraculously heals people.
Amen.
Amen.
Can you be healed without faith?
I think you can. God can do anything. Mm-hmm. But often, the norm in the New Testament is somebody gets healed, and Jesus says it's because of your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But God can, like,
All right. Yeah. What should I do if someone says they have a word from the Lord for me?
I shouldn't chuckle at that. I think it's possible God might tell your daughter, Mom, I had a dream about you last night. Or I just, you know, it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a... The most Christian person that I knew growing up was my Aunt Marge, very committed Christian lady. But she would have words from the Lord that would really bother my mom, not so much because I think they were from the Lord, but because I think maybe mom said, sure sounds like Marge's opinions to me. So you got to be careful that you don't use that mm-hmm. as a way to manipulate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where do we first find the Holy Spirit in the Bible?
Yeah. First paragraph. And this, God the Father creating the world. God said, let there be light. And the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. So you find the Holy Spirit in the very first verse or paragraph of the Bible. And you also find the Holy Spirit in the last chapter of the Bible, the Spirit and the bride say, come, you know, come Lord Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is in the Bible from beginning until end.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, somebody wrote this question in about the Holy Spirit. In John 14, 15 and 16, Jesus talks about going to the Father because he'll be better for us. It would be better for us because then the Holy Spirit would be sent. And his point is not better, but equal, right? Well, yeah, I mean, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all three equally God.
Mm-hmm.
And why did Jesus say, disciples, it's going to be better for you if I leave because then the Spirit comes? Because the Holy Spirit is with us in a more immediate sense than he was before Pentecost. So, and plus, Jesus is in heaven ruling over heaven and earth. So, yeah.
Okay.
Kind of confusing.
If God created all of us, doesn't everyone have the Spirit of God dwelling in them?
Nope. God creates everyone. Mm-hmm. Everybody is a creature of God. Not everyone is a child of God. And in fact, Paul writes in Romans 8, whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. In other words, it's possible to have the Spirit of Christ and belong to him, and it's possible not to have the Holy Spirit, therefore you don't belong to him. Mm-hmm. This belief that everybody goes to heaven mm-hmm. is not biblical.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Here's a letter from a viewer. It's really sad you keep spreading fear messages on TV that we don't deserve God's love and we are bad people. Why don't you change your message to something positive? You should try it.
Yeah, and this was a lady who runs the New Age store where she sells crystals and stuff. And I think she's probably into the New Age movement, which teaches you are God. Mm-hmm. You are wonderful. We are all part of the collective God consciousness. Don't talk to me, I'm a sinner. Don't talk to me about hell. Mm-hmm. That's negative energy. Mm-hmm. Talk to me that I'm wonderful. And here's my response. We are sinners. We do deserve hell. What's wonderful is the grace of God. It's a very positive message. But the good news is not good news until you first hear the bad news that you need Christ. You're not this wonderful God creature. Mm-hmm. You're a sinner in need of salvation.
Amen.
Yeah.
Here's another letter from a viewer. I have a sin that I cannot get victory over, lust, fornication, pornography. It makes me wonder if I am really saved. I don't want to commit the sin, but I cannot help myself. I repent, but there is supposedly to be no sin in me. And am I truly repenting if I keep sinning? And I do believe in Jesus, that he died for me.
It's a little hard to know how to answer this. I think anybody, no matter what sin you've committed, if you will come to Christ, truly be sorry, ask for forgiveness, even if you've done it 100 times, if there's true repentance and sorrow, you're forgiven. Because Peter said, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive this guy? 7 times a day? Jesus says, no, 70 times 7 a day. Mm-hmm. So if I have to do that for you, God's doing that much for me. So there is this forgiveness, continual forgiveness of sins we receive through Christ. If you're living in sin, mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 6 says you're not going to heaven. I mean, if I sin and repent, there's forgiveness. If I'm living in sin, you're in trouble. Again, everybody read 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. If you're living with your boyfriend or girlfriend outside of marriage, that's called fornication. You're going to hell. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, there's forgiveness, but there needs to be repentance for that forgiveness. And the second half was what? The other thing I wrote to him, and I said, so if you've truly repented, you are forgiven in Christ, and you need to get accountability in your life. Mm-hmm. And I basically said to him, do you have anybody you talk to about your sins? Do you have a Christian man who can hold you accountable once a week where you get together either in person or on the phone and he holds you accountable, he prays for you? Don't try to conquer your sins by yourself. Mm-hmm. And make sure you're in a good church.
Amen.
Yeah.
Another letter from a viewer. I was a little confused by your program today in reference to the meaning of God's only begotten Son. Does it not mean that Jesus was God's only Son that was born in the flesh?
Yeah, and I wasn't quite sure how to answer this, but here's the point. You and I are sons and daughters of God through mm-hmm. Christ, but we're not the only begotten Son of God. Mm-hmm. There's only one only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is, and I'm quoting the Nicene Creed based on the Bible, Jesus is God from God, light from light, very God of very God, begotten, not made. Jesus was not made. He's a one substance with the Father by whom all things were made, who for us and our salvation. So there's only one who's eternally begotten of the mm-hmm. Father. That's Jesus. He saves us and we become sons and daughters with a small s mm-hmm. and D, but he's the only capital S Son of God. Again, we believe in one God, but all three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, are God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next one. The broadcast about predestination blew some of my mental circuits. Now I am really confused. If God has already chosen who he wants to follow him, why do we need missionaries then?
Yeah. Some time ago, we had a whole show on predestination. Mm-hmm. And I got the question, well, if God predestines everybody, mm-hmm. why bother to send out the missionaries?
Exactly.
And the answer is, because God not only predestines the ends, who's mm-hmm. going to be saved, he predestines the means to the ends. the way they get saved. Mm-hmm. And the way God has chosen to save the world is through the missionaries and through the preaching of the gospel. So, yes, only God knows who's predestined and who's going to end up believing. Well, does that mean we don't do it? No. He's also predestined the means to the end, which is the preaching of the gospel. Mm. Yeah.
Interesting. From a viewer, I am a Catholic and listen to your program weekly. You say you do not believe in purgatory, but it is in our Catholic Bible. Who took those six books of the Bible out that Catholics believe in? I read it was Martin Luther. If so, who gave him the power to take away the Word of God?
Maybe she's, now and then I watch Catholic TV, and sometimes from my point of view, the truth gets a little twisted. So here's the point. There are these books called the Apocryphal books, mm-hmm. written in between the Old and New Testament. The problem with the Apocryphal books are that the Old Testament Jews did not have them as part of their canon, mm-hmm. their list. The Septuagint, the Greek version of the Old Testament, had them, but the Jews didn't have it as part of their Old Testament. So you've got these in-between books. And what do you do with them? Well, finally, Martin Luther comes along in the 1500s, and Luther comes out against the Apocrypha, sides with the Old Testament Jews, saying they're not Scripture. He said they're good reading material, they're just not on the par of Scripture. That's when, I believe at the Council of Trent, I think that's when the Catholic Church says, oh, yes, they are Scripture. But before then, they were kind of in limbo, and they hadn't said that. Mm-hmm. Even if you believe in the Apocrypha, does the Apocrypha teach purgatory? I don't think it does. There's, I think, a vague reference about in the book of Maccabees about praying for the dead. Mm-hmm. That's about it. There's nothing about when you die, you have to go to purgatory for 300 years and have your sins burned off, and then you're going to make it to heaven. I mean, did Jesus die on the cross so we would have to go to purgatory for 300 years? Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't think purgatory is in the Bible. And the Apocrypha, you can read it. It's good reading, but it's not on the par of Scripture. The Bible that Jesus used, the Old mm-hmm. Testament list, did not have the Apocryphal books.
Okay.
Yeah.
From a viewer, can you explain the relationship of the resurrection with burial versus cremation?
Yeah. Boy, we get this question a lot. In fact, just a couple days ago, I'm talking to a friend of mine, and my wife and I are again going to be cremated. Are you okay with that, Tom? I said, well... the history of the church is against it. Mm-hmm. Most of the reason most Christians have just been buried is kind of to give a testimony that one day we believe God will raise our bodies from the dead. Well, yeah, but what if you're burned? Or what if you're buried at sea and you're totally mm-hmm. disintegrated? Okay, God can put you back together. But the history of the church has kind of been against cremation. Even the Catholic Church in more recent years has kind of gone, okay, mm-hmm. you know. And so I'm not saying it's a sin. But I'd rather personally just be buried mm-hmm. and not be cremated. The majority of people in Minnesota now are cremated.
They are.
And I'm a cheap guy, and it's a lot cheaper, I'm tempted. But I just don't think I'll go that way. There you go. That's okay. My opinion. Yeah.
Why do Lutherans believe in baptismal generation when the Bible teaches we are not saved by human works, but only by the grace of God?
Yeah. Let me explain what baptismal regeneration means. It kind of means being born again, being reborn. And do Lutherans believe we're born again in baptism? In a sense, we do. Mm-hmm. Jesus said in John chapter 2, is it? Except a man is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Most Christians have interpreted that for 2,000 years to be a reference to baptism. So, my Baptist friends would say that baptism is a symbol. It doesn't really do anything, but it's a nice symbol. Mm-hmm. If I read Romans 6 about baptism, boy, Paul the Apostle sure seems to me to be saying a lot more happens in baptism than symbolism. God drowns our old Adam and raises up on us a new creature. We're connected to the death and resurrection of Christ. So, and when this person says, you know, baptism is a human work and the Bible says we're not saved by works, baptism is not a human work. Mm-hmm. Baptism is not something I do for God. Mm-hmm. It's something God does for me. Mm-hmm. It's called grace. So I don't think baptism is a work I do. When I was a baby, I didn't do anything but sit there, mm-hmm. and I got baptized. So on the other hand, I get nervous when people say, yeah, I'm going to heaven because I'm baptized. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, when's the last time you've been to church? Well, I got my ticket. I was baptized as a baby. Mm-hmm. And so that's the Lutheran heresy. Just get wet and you're saved and mm-hmm. you can live. Or the Baptist heresy, I prayed the prayer. I asked Jesus into my heart. When the last time you've been in church? Well, 10 years. Well, Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved.
Okay, so once saved, always saved.
That's a hard one. I don't mind that teaching as long as they teach it right. If you teach that once you're saved, God will keep you saved and you'll maintain your faith to the end, okay, I can live with that. But once saved, okay, I got saved, but now I can live with my girlfriend and I can fornicate and I can be a drunkard and everything. But hey, once saved, always saved. Paul, again, in 1 Corinthians 6 would say, don't be deceived. That's not going to work.
Okay.
Yeah.
From a viewer, I watched your TV program and you taught that we are saved by grace, not good works. What about Matthew 25? What about the book of James that also speaks of the importance of works? Thank you for your program.
Matthew 25 is the text about the shepherd separating the sheep from the goats. Mm-hmm. And he knows which is which by, did they feed the hungry, you know, help his brothers, and et cetera, or did they ignore? And so I think Matthew 25 contradicts the teaching that we're saved by grace alone, not by good works. It does preach, because what saves them in the first place is not their good works. What saved them in the first place is whether they were a sheep or a goat.
Mm-hmm.
But their works will show mm-hmm. whether they were a sheep or a goat. And if you say you're a sheep, but you're living like a goat, you're not a sheep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. From a viewer, what do you think about sperm banks? Are we putting God to the test for when the soul is imparted to a fertilized egg cell?
I don't like it. If you can't have a baby, you're going to go to I don't even know how it's done, but you go to a doctor or a clinic and they impregnate you with someone else's sperm than your husband. I don't like it. If you can't have children, then accept that as the Lord's lot in your life and he'll have other plans for you. That's my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah.
From a viewer, I watched your program this morning and you said that we need to endure to the end to be saved.
Like I just said again.
Like you said. Please explain that. Do Baptists believe this? Baptists are baptized, but they do not believe it is necessary for salvation.
Well, is baptism necessary for salvation? 1 Peter 3, baptism, which corresponds to Noah and the flood, now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the body, not just water, but an appeal to God for a clear, good conscience through the resurrection of Christ. So baptism is not just the water. It's faith and trust in Christ too. Mm-hmm. But the thief on the cross wasn't baptized and he was saved. So there are exceptions, but I wouldn't go there. The norm is you get baptized. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. Yeah.
Okay. Do we have time for one more?
Oh, let's see. No, we don't. But everybody, thanks for watching. We're going to ask you just please pray for our TV show. We're reaching more people than ever. But our savings are going down, and when they go down, we have to withdraw from some stations. So we're going to pray that doesn't happen. If the Lord nudges you to support us, there's the website right there where you can do that. You can watch all of our TV shows for free right there. So pray and there we go.
Thanks for joining us today. God bless you. See you next time.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.